One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they left him alone in the garden, one day he rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved ones bringing, glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, saith, I thirst. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth and drank, gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he bowed his head and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
Leave a heavenly mansion. Why choose a simple soul? I wander poor and homeless. The King and Lord of all, why heal a lonely beggar? Why cause the blind to see? The light of all creation, shining there for me, it was for me he cried, for me he died, for me he shed his blood upon a tree. It was for me he came, for me his shame. For me, oh, praise his name, it was for me. I stay in Allah's garden. Why spend the night in prayer? Why suffer such betrayal? In anguish kneeling there, why leave his mother crying? Why set Barabbas free? The spotless Lamb of Heaven, given there for me. Why climb that dreadful mountain? Why suffer agony? Why give his blood a fountain spilled and broken, flowing free? When he walked the road to Calvary, gave his life so willingly, broken there, the rose of Sharon died for me. It was for me he cried, for me he died, for me he shed his blood upon a tree. It was for me he came, for me his shame, for me, oh, praise his name, it was for me. The King who came from heaven, to the cry there is no room, now must lay his weary body in a cold and borrowed tomb. But the grave it would not hold him. Death lost its victory. The risen Lord of glory is living now for me. It was for me he cried, for me he died, for me he shed his blood upon a tree. It was for me he came, for me his shame, for me, oh, praise his name, it was for me. For me, oh, praise his name. For me.
Amen. Now upon the first day of the week, when the Sabbath was past, very early in the morning, when it was yet dark, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome, and certain others with them, came unto the sepulchre, bringing sweet spices, which they had prepared, that they might anoint him. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, They found the stone, and seeth the stone taken away, rolled away from the sepulchre, for it was very great. And they, entering into the sepulchre, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were affrighted, and the angel said unto the women, Fear not ye, be not affrighted, for I know ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, behold, see the place where the Lord lay. But go your way, and go quickly, and tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you, Lo, I have told you.
I follow Jesus to the cross. I saw his bleeding side. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb. I followed Jesus to the grave and cried in.
And they went out and departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid, and did run to bring his disciples word. Then Mary Magdalene runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Then arose Peter, therefore, and went forth, and that other disciple, and ran and came unto the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in, Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and stooping down went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie by themselves, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples departed and went away again into their own home, Peter wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, one of whom he had cast out seven devils. Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Master. And she went and told the disciples that had been with him as they mourned and wept, that she had seen the Lord.
Throne into this world of woe came God's own Son, salvation to bestow. Nailed to the cross in pain and agony, laid in the tomb. Jesus arose, praise his holy name. Jesus arose, death he overcame. An angel rolled away the stone. My Lord arose to save his own, and now he reigns upon his throne. Alleluia, alleluia. 3 days he lay within that dark domain, then with new life forth from the tomb he came. Christ has the key. O death, where is thy sting? Our Lord doth live. O let your praises ring. Jesus arose. Praise his holy name. Jesus arose. Death he overcame. My Lord arose to save his own, and now he reigns upon his throne. Alleluia, alleluia. Oh, he's on high, he's coming back someday. Then from this earth carry us away. Even though we die, we know we'll rise again. For Christ arose, our precious souls to win. Jesus arose, praise his holy arose, death he overcame. An angel rolled away the stone. My Lord arose to save his own, and now he reigns upon his throne. Alleluia, alleluia.
Savior died, mocked and rejected and crucified. A soldier's spear pierced in his side. It is finished.
Please take the insert that was in your bulletin this morning, and we'll stand as we sing, "Thine is the Glory."
Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave closed where thy body lay. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let his church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan with thy power and love. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Back in the early 1980s, this goes back quite some time ago, my family and I were away from our home for a few hours and we came home again. But something was wrong. I went to my desk and opened the drawer where I kept some money, and it was empty. The children went to their piggy banks, and they were all empty. It was a shock. We expected one thing when we came home and found something very different. This was the case of the folks that followed Jesus. They expected his body to be in the tomb. They expected the tomb to be sealed. And they weren't quite prepared for what they found. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 44. Pilate marveled if he were already dead. You see, no one took Jesus' life from him. He gave it up voluntarily. And so, verse 45, Joseph of Arimathea comes and asks for the body. He takes the body in verse 46 and wraps it in the linen, lays it in a tomb, a sepulcher, which was carved out of a rock. And there was only one door of entrance, and they rolled a stone, a very great stone, under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene, verse 47, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, which had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" The women fully expected the stone to be intact, closing the tomb, and that they would not have the strength to roll it away. Archaeologists tell us that these stones, circular, disc-like, were approximately 4, maybe 5 feet in diameter. Remember, a couple of times we've already read this morning how in order to look into the tomb, people had to stoop down. The entrances to these were not great large doors, but they were small entrances into a cave. And the stone, 4 to 5 feet in diameter, was enough to close the door. Now, the disc-like stone set in a trough. The trough was on an incline down towards the entrance of the door, so that rolling the stone in front of the door was much easier than rolling it away from the door. You roll it downhill, and it's set in the bottom of a groove in front of the door. To roll it away, they would have to roll it up out of that groove and up an incline. And the women were convinced they could not do that. Fully expecting the stone to be there, wondering whom they could get to roll the stone away so that they could get in to minister to the body of Jesus. And if they could get into the tomb, these women fully expected to find the body of Jesus still lying in the tomb. Mark 16, verse 1, they had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. The day that Jesus died was on the eve of an important Sabbath day. And the Jews, according to John chapter 19 and verse 31, did not like to have bodies hanging on the cross during a Sabbath day. That's why for the other two men hanging there. They broke their legs to make sure that they would die. You see, crucifixion was much like a hanging. Once they lost the ability to support themselves with their feet, they would drop and no longer be able to breathe and suffocate. This, of course, is what happened to the two thieves on either side of Christ. But for Christ, he had given up the ghost already. The swiftness of the burial, however, because of the impending Sabbath day, did not allow the folks to prepare the body for burial as they would have desired to do. And so that's why these women came, fully expecting, first, if they could get through the door, to find a body lying in the tomb. Meanwhile, Mark chapter 16 and verse 9 and 10, the disciples were mourning and weeping, verse 10 of Mark 16, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. While the women were going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, the disciples were gathered and were mourning, lamenting. In fact, this particular word for lamenting indicates there was some audible sound coming from their mouths. And the weeping is the kind of weeping that they cried out loud. They were noisily weeping, crying so hard they were literally sobbing out loud because they expected the body of Jesus still to be lifeless in the tomb. Well, that was what they expected. But here was the unexpected. When the women came to the tomb, Mark chapter 16 and verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. They didn't expect that. This 2-ton stone was rolled uphill out of its place, and the door of the tomb was wide open. Can you imagine what was going through their minds when they saw that? Totally unexpected. So they go in. Well, the door is open. Let's go minister to the body. Verse 5. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. And they went out quickly. They entered the tomb, no doubt with trepidation. Trepidation is a nervous and fearful feeling of uncertainty, which causes a bit of agitation. Then fear mounted on top of their trepidation when they saw the angel, a young man clothed in a long white garment. They fully expected to see the dead body of Jesus. Instead, they see a young man that's very much alive. And then the angel speaks to them and tells them that Jesus is alive. He's not here. Go tell his disciples. They quickly fled the tomb as if escaping from some dangerous situation. It says they trembled. They were shaking. They were amazed. They were stunned. They were afraid. The unexpected nature of this event was quite disturbing to them. Of course, we know what happened before they ever arrived at the disciples. They actually saw Jesus alive, which relieved all of their fears. Mary had run, found Peter and James, Peter and John, apparently not with the rest of the disciples, and they, Peter and John, run to the tomb, John chapter 2. John chapter 20 and verse 2. John chapter 20 and verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's the way John always referred to himself in his own writings. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Now, John was a little younger. He could run faster. And he got there first. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes, yet went not in. Then Peter, as he always did, hastily did whatever he did, just ran right into it. He didn't stop at the door. He ran right in. Verse 6, he saw the linen clothes. He saw the napkin that was about his head. Not with the linen clothes, but in a place by itself and wrapped together. In other words, neatly folded. Peter's reaction was reflective. We're told over in Luke chapter 24 and verse 12 that Peter, after looking in the tomb, departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. But John needed only the first look to believe. John went in also, John 20 and verse 8. John went in also, that other disciple went in also, into the tomb which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and he believed. It wasn't just that Jesus' body wasn't there, but the cloths in which his body had been wrapped were there, empty. Anyone who had carried away the body wouldn't have unwrapped a dead body to do that. And by the burial clothes being neatly laid in place, clearly, Jesus was not only not there, Jesus was alive. Because of our expectancy level being very low, sometimes we miss out on important blessings. Back in 1987, we experienced a fire in our home. And among many other things, my desk that I have at home was messed up in a way that it needed a good cleaning. It was a solid wood desk. It was a very old desk. My parents bought it used in the 1940s when they set up house cleaning, and I played underneath of it when I was a child. But as many of these pieces of furniture were back in the early 1900s, it was all painted black. And after wiping it off, I was going to repaint it black, and my wife said to me, "Why don't you just take the black off of it?" So I started doing that, and lo and behold, a beautiful oak desk was underneath all that old black paint. I didn't have any expectation of that. I was just going to paint it black. But for the prompting of my wife, I would have missed out on that blessing. There are so many times that we have low expectations. The disciples had low expectations, no expectations, in fact. And yet the truth was the message of the angels, he is not here where they expected him to be. He was not. What they expected him to be, still dead. He was not. He was alive, risen. It was not just that his body was not there, he was not there, because he is alive. What is your expectation for Jesus today? I think lots of times we miss out on blessings that could be in our lives because we have such low expectations. Do you expect Him to be with you at all times? Do you expect Him to hear you when you pray? Do you expect Him to intercede for you in all your failures? Do you expect Him to help you in your times of need? Do you expect Him to give you wisdom for all the circumstances of life? Do you expect Him to fill your heart with joy in all your tribulations? Do you expect Him to come again and receive you unto Himself? We deal with so many discouragements and fears and frustrations, despondency and despair because our expectations for Jesus are just too low. He's alive. He's the living Savior. And not only that, if you have believed in Jesus, He's living in you. He will do all these things and so much more. He will be with you all the time because He's promised to do so. Never to leave you nor forsake you. He will hear you every time you pray. And I love to read the passages in the Psalms where David constantly is expressing his confidence that God hears us when we pray. At all times, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's a very present help in time of need. He gives wisdom liberally to all who ask without wavering. We should rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. With the absolute, certain, confident hope that Jesus is coming again. Jesus' body is not lying lifeless in a tomb. You know, there are people that keep looking for the tomb with the expectation of finding Jesus' body. I have numerous examples. I won't take the time to go through them. But there was one place on November 20th, 2016, just this last fall. Some young man writes into a Christian blog and asks this question: would finding Jesus' corpse falsify Christianity? I have good news for that young man. It's a moot question. It's an irrelevant question because it's impossible to find Jesus' body. He's alive. He is not in the tomb. He is alive. He is living. He's at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He's living in us, Galatians 2:20. Christ liveth in me. And our expectations for Him ought to be at the highest possible level at all times. For He never disappoints. He always keeps His word. And the blessings that are available to us in Him are innumerable. He is not in the tomb. He is alive. Live with expectations of blessings from a living, risen Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the truth that Jesus is not in the tomb. He is not in any tomb. No matter how many tombs they open and discover and look in, they will never find Him. He's not there. He's alive. Thank You for a living, risen Savior and Lord who ministers to us in so many ways, blesses us beyond what we could possibly ask or think, and fills our heart with joy and hope because he's alive. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.